Welcome to the Cortana Analytics webinar. I'm Ashish Bhatia. I work as a Senior Program Manager at Microsoft, specifically in the Cortana Analytics team. The topic for today is Cortana Analytics process to build intelligent applications. The goal of the session is to introduce you to the best practices when it comes to building an advanced analytics solution on top of Cortana Analytics Suite. Today we have two smart gentlemen who can talk more wisely about this topic than me, Sachin Chuksi and Vihong Tok. Sachin's team has been instrumental in building the Cortana Analytics process and all the collateral around it. Before I kind of hand it over to Sachin and Vihong, let me quickly go over some of the bookkeeping items. It's a 1 hour session today. We will be recording the session and it will be made available for offline consumption after the live session. We will also share the slides and the presentation in a follow-up mail. There'll be a Q&A at the end of the session, so feel free to kind of put in your questions in the Q&A box at any point of time. And with that, let me quickly hand it over to Sachin.
Hey guys, my name is Sachin, and we're going to talk about using the Cortana Analytics process to build intelligent applications. Again, my name is Sachin Chokse. I'm an engineering manager in the Cortana Analytics team, and my partner in crime today is going to be Vihong Tok, and he's a PM in the same team. Before we begin, I'm going to give you an overview of the entire Cortana Analytics suite. Some of you may have seen this before, and some of you may not have. So I'm just going to do a really quick overview of this. So the Cortana Analytics suite is essentially an end-to-end platform with an integrated and comprehensive set of tools and services to help you build intelligent applications that let you easily take advantage of advanced analytics and all the capabilities that Microsoft has really brought to the market in the past few years. So this slide here that you're seeing essentially represents the set of services that encompass Cortana Analytics, right? So the very first is your set of information management services. So this is the set of services that enable you to bring data in so that you can analyze it. So the information management capabilities include Azure Data Factory. This allows you to pull data from any source, whether it's a relational database like SQL or a non-relational source like a Hadoop cluster. It allows you to bring this data in an automated and scheduled way while performing the necessary data transformations like stripping columns, dates versus currency. Think of it like an ETL tool, and it's essentially ETL in the cloud. Event Hub does something similar, but it's essentially doing it for an IoT scenario where you've got really high volume data coming in from, let's say, sensors, and you've got millions of data points being created every second, and Event Hub enables you to ingest that data into the Cortana Analytics suite. Azure Data Catalog essentially enables you to catalog this wide variety of different silos of data that enterprises tend to have and enables you to make it available to the entire enterprise in an easy and queryable manner. So the next set of capabilities is essentially a big data store. So you've brought all this data in, you get to put it somewhere, right? So that's where Azure Data Lake Store and Azure SQL Data Warehouse come in. Think about Azure Data Lake Store as your exabyte scale data store, where you can essentially ingest any form of data, any type of data, and any volume and variety of data that's coming. And once it's in, you can essentially, it's your data lake. You don't have to think about how it's coming in or what format it's in. You can essentially transform it after. Azure SQL Data Warehouse is essentially your data warehousing built on top of that data, right? And this is, this is one of the newer features within the Cortana Analytics suite. And it's the reason it's really cool is it enables you to pause your data warehouse and you stop paying for it when it's in pause state. All you're paying for is the storage, the compute, and the data are totally decoupled. And you can, of course, scale it up and down within a matter of seconds. So you're running, let's say, at a 400 database transaction units, and you can scale it up to 2,000 database transaction units, and you can see the effect of that scaling action take place within seconds or minutes. Now, once your data is in, you're going to figure out how to analyze it, and that's the next set of services is your machine learning and analytics services. Azure Machine Learning is Microsoft's understanding of all the machine learning capabilities that they've built in the past, and they're bringing that to the market in the format of this Azure Machine Learning tool. We recently launched the Azure Data Lake Analytics Service, and we've had the Azure HD Insight, which includes the Hadoop and Spark clusters, around for a while. Azure Stream Analytics is another analytics service that essentially enables you to do analytics on streams of data coming in with a very simple T-SQL-like language. So essentially, the stuff that would have taken hundreds or thousands of lines of code in the past can now be compressed into 5 or 10 lines in a very simple SQL-like interface that operates on streams of data coming in. And all these services essentially interact seamlessly with each other. So your stream analytics can call a machine learning model that has already been in Azure Machine Learning and essentially can do ML analytics against that stream of data. Now, once your data is analyzed, you're going to have to figure out how to put it into a dashboard or visualize it so that your exec level people can look at it, or your line of business systems can ingest it. Cortana is also a part of the Cortana Analytics Suite, and this provides for a natural way to interact with your data using voice, very similar to how we interact with our phones or calendars and systems. We say, hey, Cortana, create a calendar event for me at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Like that, you should be able to ask Cortana, hey, Cortana, how are sales doing in North America over the past month? And where should my investments be? So stuff like that. So that's where the power of Cortana, that natural language integration with your data, comes in. Similarly, the Cortana Analytics Suite includes a set of perceptual intelligence APIs, like face detection, vision detection, speech recognition, text analytics, transcription, all those services. As well as the suite has a set of pre-baked business scenarios, such as recommendations, customer churns, forecasting, stuff that we've noticed when we're talking to customers is stuff that they tend to use the suite more often for. We've pre-built some solutions around that. And these aren't fully baked solutions, but enough to get a customer started and start making progress and delivering value from that suite very quickly. So this, in essence, is the Cortana Analytics Suite, right? It helps the promise of the suite is how do you is transforming your data into intelligent action. So waiting for my screen to refresh. Okay, so at this point, you're asking, I have data, and I want to transform it into intelligent action. And your question is, okay, the promise of the suite is great, but how in the world am I going to do this? And it seems like there's a bit of a lag. So I will push to the next screen quickly. So let's talk about some data first, right? So for this example, or for this talk, we are going to talk about a data set that was requested via a Freedom of Information law request to the New York City Taxi and Limo Commission by Chris Wong. And Chris Wong's an enterprising data analyst, data visualization guru in New York City. And he essentially did it as a response to this tweet that the New York City Taxi and Limo Commission put out roughly in March of 2014. And it essentially said, it's Metric Monday again, and today's infographic shows that data on yellow taxis on the road. And what you can see, if you look at that graph in that infographic, it shows that between the hours of 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., the number of available taxis on the road are really, really low. So if any of you are from New York City, you can corroborate this most likely, and I've spoken to a few people. My brother lives in New York, and he's essentially told me that, there's really no way to get a cab in New York City between those hours. And it turns out, really, the hours are that's when the shift change happens, right? So that's why there's so few cabs on the road, and there's a lot of people out there looking for cabs at the same time. So the New York City Taxi Limo Commission put out this tweet, and Chris Wong, being the enterprise data scientist that he is, said, hey, where's the data, right? And he was expecting them to come back and say, well, here's an API. Chris Wong's a big proponent of the open data movement. So he talked about, I was expecting an API. I was expecting them to give me a storage account somewhere, data's being in the cloud, or at least some way I could download it. And essentially what the New York City Taxi and Limo Commission said is like, yep, come on in, file a request. He filed the request, and then they said, come on in, bring a hard drive, make sure it's sealed, So he essentially had to go to Radio Shack, actually visit their site. I think it was in Midtown somewhere. He brought his hard drive in. They gave him the data a couple of days later, and he picked it back up. So obviously, being the enterprising and open data advocate that he is, he turned around and made the data publicly available on a number of other sites. So what does the data set contain? So we decided to use this data set as a representative data to build analytical applications against. So what does the data contain, right? It contains all the taxis taken and all the fares paid in New York City for 12 months in 2013. It's 20 gigs compressed, comma separated value data, and it's 48 gigs uncompressed. It has about 173 million row. Each row includes the pickup and drop off locations and the time. It includes the driver's information on, you know, what his license and ID number is. It's obfuscated. And it also includes the medallion number, which is the yellow taxi number. And it's really the license to operate a taxi in New York City. And apparently these things are really, really expensive. You used to sell for like $1 million at one point. And I believe that since Uber has come into the market, the prices has plummeted a little bit. So the data set contains two sets of files, so the trip file and a fare file. And the unique key to join this is trip data, trip fare, and the medallion, the hack license, and the pickup date time. So that's a representative data set, right? So people kind of went to town on this data set. They did a lot of interesting things. Here's a visualization, and I'm hoping that it's rendering correctly on your screen. But here's a visualization that somebody built showing all the taxi trips that were taken by people in 2013. And you can actually switch to different cabs. I've got a link to where this visualization can be found at the end. But you can essentially sit and stare at this for hours. And I recently did. And you know, great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. So you can actually see how different taxis are moving around different cities, where they're picking up, what the busy times are, what the light times are. This is showing you roughly around 11 in the morning. So on a Friday, it's a pretty fairly busy time of the day. You can see how stuff tends to die out over Thanksgiving or over Christmas, or even at 2 in the afternoon on Christmas Day, there's really nobody out. So really interesting visualizations and stuff people have done with it, especially in the open data space. So we decided, okay, this is a really great great data set. Some of the other interesting things that people have done, and you know, this talks to the celebrity-obsessed culture, is they actually went and figured out who took some of these cabs. And the question becomes, how do you actually figure that out, right? The data set is supposed to be private. It's obfuscated. The interesting thing is New York City is one of those few cities in the world where celebrities are comfortable taking yellow cabs, right? So you usually see pictures of celebrities in New York getting in and out of yellow cabs. So what people did was look at all the paparazzi pictures of people in New York City from 2013. They figured out where those people are getting in and out of. And then they started figuring out, okay, so this trip that they took in this yellow taxi must have corresponded to this record in the database. So that's when you started seeing some interesting stuff like this, where you have Catherine Hegel took a taxi on October 4th, 2013 from 1:21 to 1:40 p.m. And here's where her pickup and drop-off location was. Here's the fare she paid. And more importantly, here was the tip, right? She gave a $3.62 tip. So that was interesting. And then there was another one where you have Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann and their set of rides. And then obviously people started looking at all the other celebrities and saying, well, how much do celebrities tip? And they realized that, you know, celebrities don't tip a lot. So they went back and started finding out. And essentially what they realized is this is a real world data set. A lot of the tips were paid in cash. So like I said, very representative real world. So there's a bunch of, you know, records in there that may or may not represent truly real life. So we figured it was a really interesting data set to play with. So we decided to figure out, okay, what can we use to predict from this data set? And if this was a live audience, I would have kind of polled you guys for what you felt. But since we're not, we'll do it this way, where you know, we essentially said, okay, well, let's try and predict tips. How much is someone going to pay in terms of a tip for the trip? So will a tip be paid or not? That's a binary classification problem. What is the amount of the tip? is it a $0 to $5 tip, a $5 to $10 tip? So, you know, different classes of tips. That's a multi-class classification problem. And then what's the actual tip amount, right? So that's a regression kind of problem. It's a zero, it's a continuous value. So that was the kind of problem that we set out to solve. So now, let's actually make some data, right? You heard about a static data set, and which is the one we're going to use to build out this process and show you how to build an application. But let's actually make some data. Very few of us actually have static data sets. They have real life data sets. So with that, I'm going to hand off to Wiyoung, and he's going to direct you to this website. So Wiyoung, take it away.
So right now, what you're seeing, right, as you navigate to the link that we've provided on the slide, you will get to a website which we call NYRISE, right? And the reason why we built this website is really to show you how can you get from an application that you have today, making use of predictive analytics and transform it into an intelligent application. Now, as and when you orientate yourself with this website, right, I'm going to switch screen to show you how this website looks like and what you can do with it. So as and when you navigate to the website, which is aka.msnygetaright, you're going to see a page that looks something like this, right? And for the purpose of this demo, I'm going to log in as Sachin to say, well, I want an NYRight, and I'm going to click on I want a right. Here, you can then choose where do you want to pick up and where is your drop-off location, and you can request a right. Now, as and when you request a right, imagine you're a driver. Right, you are a driver and you say, well, I have so many rides that have been requested. Which one should I pick up? Right, and therefore, why is this application intelligent? Is that as and when I become a driver, you will see a bunch of requested rides and various estimated tip. Now, how did we get to this estimated tip? Recall the story that Sachin was sharing about earlier, right, on analyzing customer behavior. Every time they drop off, what kind of tips did they give? Did they give it in cash? Did they give it in credit card? Right. And therefore, what is powering this estimated tip in the background is really an Azure machine learning model. Now, as and when you're interacting with the app, you will also see in the back, we have a Power BI dashboard that's capturing your interaction, both the top passengers as well as the top drivers. And at the same time, which is the top pickup location as well as which is the top drop-off location as well. Now, someone in the Q&A window is asking what is the URL. The URL is aka.ms/nygetaright. Let me show it to you here. Go aka.ms/nygetaright. So if I were to click on this, you will get to the same page that I'm seeing here. Right, and we have folks on the Q&A window that's also helping up with answering that question. Now, so then the question is, what is the machine learning model in the back end that's powering this, right? How did we build a model that allows you to estimate the amount of tips that a passenger would give? Now, let me switch screen to Azure Machine Learning just to give you a sense of what is the model. Now, as we wait for the page to refresh, should be coming up pretty soon. Can you guys see the page now? Right. So as you see this page, let me show you the experiment that was built. Now, what you're seeing here is Azure Machine Learning Studio. And this experiment is an experiment that we have already published in the gallery. And therefore, whatever I'm showing you right now, you can, after this webinar, you can actually make use of it. Right. So let's take a look at the data. And if I click on Visualize Data, you see that this was really a small sample of the New York Taxi data set from Medallion, from the HEC license, all the way till things like pick up date time, drop off date time. And finally, you see the payment type, whether it's cash or credit card, the fare amount, and you will also see a tip amount as well. Now, using this data, then we're able to very quickly build a model in order to predict the amount of tips. In this case, we're using a boosted decision tree regression. And once this model is built, I can quickly publish this as a predictive experiment. And if I were to click on predictive experiment, you'll see that I already published this. And this is taking a web service input and output, right? In this case, we're writing it to the DB. Now, once this is done, you'll see that within Azure Machine Learning, you can very quickly publish something as a web service. And once this gets published as a web service, right, this is what is consumed by the app that you saw earlier on. And this is what is powering this app that you see here. So every time someone requests a write, based on your profile, based on where you're picked up, where you plan to be dropped off, the time of the day, and a bunch of other factors, right, we will then predict the amount of tip that you likely give the driver, right? And this is when we will then allow the driver to select the passengers that will give them the most tip, and therefore maximizing their revenue for the day. But more importantly, this app has been transformed from a very simple application through the power of Azure Machine Learning into an intelligent application. So let me switch back to the dashboard that is powering all of this. So as and when you guys are interacting with this app, and you can see that the data is still getting refreshed, this dashboard that you're seeing here gives you, as well as the business in this case, a pulse of what is going on, who is being picked up, who are the top passengers, who are the top drivers. And this dashboard are updated in real time, including the fare amount that you see below, a comparison between the fare amount as well as the tip amount, the top pickup location, the top drop-off location. Now, as I'm speaking, this number of data is still streaming through, right? Now, then the question is, how do you go about using Cortana Analytics Suite to be able to build a real-time dashboard that looks like this? How do we analyze the data that's real-time, and what kind of technology is being used? Now, every time you interact with the app, this data gets streamed into Event Hub or get ingested into Event Hub, and we have Stream Analytics that's analyzing the data that's coming in, and which I'll show you the query in a moment. And once this data gets ingested into Event Hub, we have a Stream Analytics job that's running. In this case, we call it the NY Write jobs. And you'll see that we are very easily able to make use of very simple SQL statements with window semantics. In this case, I'm saying, hey, you know, over a tumbling window of 30 seconds, find out what is the max, the mean, as well as count the number of bookings. At the same time, I'm also passing on all the data that's coming in from Event Hub or being ingested into Event Hub into two outputs. Here we call it PBI passenger, PBI driver. Now, what are this kind of output that we're writing to? If I were to click on output right now, you'll see that this output that I've created is really corresponding to data sets that will appear in Power BI. And that is the basis that allows you to build a real-time dashboard that looks like this. So up to this point in time, we've showed you how we could make use of Azure Machine Learning to transform an application, a very ordinary application today, into an intelligent application. But more importantly, it's intelligent because it creates new value for the driver. But it allows you to create new possibilities of how you can make an existing application intelligent. But more importantly, we showed you that, well, as this app and as and when you interact with this application, you are able to build very powerful and very nice real-time dashboard using technologies from the Cortana Analytics Suite. So just to recap, let me push back the slide, and you guys can continue interacting. Sachin and I like to run this session in the sense that once we finish the session, we're going to show you who are the top drivers and top passengers as a way of introducing fun into a webinar, and also as a way for you to experience the technology instead of it being one way. So just to recap what you have seen so far, you have seen us, or rather you have experienced data being ingested into Azure Event Hub. This data then gets analyzed by Azure Stream Analytics, which then get pushed to the Power BI dashboard. We showed you a very simple model that we have built based on the New York taxi data set that then predicts the amount of tip that people will give. But more importantly, we show you how to integrate this intelligence into an application that creates new value for the driver. Now, with that, let me hand back to Sachin, who's going to walk through with you, how do you go about systematically make use of a method in order to get from the data to building an intelligent net. Back to Sachin.
Thanks, Leon. So at this point, you've seen data being generated in real time, the set of services that are within Cortana Analytics Suite being used to ingest that data, run machine learning models, predict the tips over that data, as well as power a dashboard. Within this one, you know, the last 10, 15 minutes, you essentially saw the entire suite in action end to end, right? And so now your natural question is, fine, this looks great. You guys spent a tremendous amount of time building this, and the answer is no. We probably spent about a day putting this all together. And then your next question is, okay, how did you do it, right? How do you actually stitch this stuff together? And which is where the Cortana Analytics process comes in. And the Cortana Analytics process, it's a systematic and iterative process to build predictive models for use in intelligent applications using the services in the Cortana Analytics suite. And what I'm showing you here is a screenshot of a page. And if you look at the bottom of this slide, there's a short URL, aka.ms/Cortana Analytics Process, and that essentially should take you to this page. And this page helps anyone who's coming in figure out how to build applications like this themselves, right? It starts from what's the kind of problem you're trying to solve, what's the kind of environment that you need set up. It helps recommend a path through the Cortana Analytics suite of applications and actually building that entire end-to-end application. It's not just a bunch of help pages, it's also a set of utilities and tools that we have launched on GitHub and which you should be able to go and download yourself. There's a data science VM as well that you can go and create and start doing a bunch of data science activities, and all that information is essentially encapsulated within this process. I'm not going to walk through the entire process end to end, but let me walk through it in a theoretical perspective, right? So if you think about the life cycle of an analytics application, right? If you think about, hey, I want to go solve an analytics problem, the very first thing you think about doing is setting up your environment to do that. So you're going to ask a bunch of questions and try and figure out what kind of environment do I need, or what set of tools and utilities do I really need to solve this analytics problem using Cortana Analytics Suite. So once you've defined that, you're going to figure out how to load your data into that environment. Once your data is loaded, you're going to figure out, okay, my data is there. Your data scientist is going to he's going to start exploring the data. He's going to create additional features from the data if it's a predictive application that he's building. He or she is going to start sampling the data to create a representative sample data set for using machine learning. And then you're going to essentially use that sample data set to build your model against that data. And then once your machine learning model is built, you're going to deploy that model. And this is one of the really key features of Azure Machine Learning and Cortana Analytics Suite as well, is the whole deployment of a machine learning model using Azure ML is literally the click of a button, and you suddenly have a model running in the cloud in a purely elastic manner. And now once your model is deployed, you can start consuming those models, and this is essentially that web service, in whatever application you want, right? And in our case, we built that the NY Get a Ride website, and that's actually consuming that model. It's consuming it in real time as well as in a batch mode and saving, pre-caching some of that information. You can obviously build your own models and service, and those web services can be consumed in any application that you choose. So during this process, what you saw was some of the end of this, right? You saw the consumption experience. Ryong showed you the deployment of the model. He showed you how to convert a model into a web service. He also showed you the model as it was being built, right? He showed you the Azure ML experiment. So if you can, you know, we're actually walking backwards through this analytics process to show you how the stuff was built. So we showed you the end result, and then we're kind of peeling back the onion. Now, I'm actually going to show you now how to explore the data and engineer features in an environment that has already been set up. I'm not going to demonstrate setting up that environment here because that takes a little bit of time, as well as loading the data because, again, that takes a little bit of time. So let me jump into showing you how that model can be actually used or how the data for that model can be explored and sampled. So with that, let me jump into playing with some data. And I'm actually going to switch to Ryong's machine here. see your screen sharing. Just give us one sec here, folks. Trying to switch over. All right, looks like the stream's buffering, but okay, so looks like I have a notebook up. So this is the Azure Machine Learning Studio. It's the same interface that Vyong was showing earlier, where he was showing you the machine learning experiment as well as the web services. Now in the same interface, there's a notebook service, right? So I've already got the data loaded. In my case, I've got the data loaded into a SQL server, and I set up that entire environment using the Cortana Analytics process. And so the data is loaded in SQL Server. It's the full 50 gigs of data. So we created this with this walkthrough to essentially start exploring that data. And I already have that site open. So let's see as it comes up. All right. So here's essentially playing around with that data and engineering the different features within that data set using a Jupyter Notebook. And this Jupyter Notebook is essentially loaded up straight into the Azure Machine Learning Studio. So you can play with your data directly using a language like Python within the studio, or you can play with it in Azure Machine Learning. So this is a large data set. It's about 50 gigs. So we decided to play around with it in Python and then take a sample of it and then move that sample into Azure ML. If you go and follow that process and actually create your environments with following that process, you should be able, these are things, this notebook, for example, is checked into GitHub. So when that environment is set up, these notebooks are checked out to a VM that gets set up as a part of that process. And you should be able to play around with the data very similarly, like how I'm doing here. So if you follow the process, you'll essentially get the same notebook, and you'll be able to connect to your SQL Server or Hadoop cluster. Whichever the case might be, we have different versions of this machine, of this notebook. So in this case, I'm not going to go and execute the whole thing, but you can see here I'm importing a bunch of libraries. I'm connecting to the server, establishing the connection. I've run a few of these things beforehand so that you don't have to sit and walk through or watch me go through this whole process. Here I'm looking at the number of rows and columns in the table, and you can see there's about 173 million rows in here. There's about 14 columns. All right. And here I'm reading in a sample of that data from the SQL Server. And so most people at this point are like, okay, I've got the data in, I've got my notebook loaded, I'm going to go and play around with it, I want to actually go and visualize it. So the notebook includes a bunch of visualizations that have already been done. I am going to jump to a bunch of plots. I'm trying to find one, which is, okay, so there's a bunch of bar and line plots. So this one, and I'm going to let the screen catch up. Okay, this one is showing me the distribution of the trip distance versus basically classified into different bins. And if I run that, you can see just here, okay, there's about 28,000 or close to 30,000 trips in the 1 to 2 mile. And let's see what that looks like in a chart. And you can essentially start doing this against any data that you have, right? So most of the trips in New York City within that 2013 data set were within, under 2 miles, and then you can start seeing them go down, and then there were less than 5,000 that were over 10 miles and up to 1,000 miles. So very few, obviously, in the upper bins there. Let me look at, this is essentially the same thing presented as a line graph. Now let's see, the count of passengers by the different taxi providers in New York. And you look at that, okay, this looks like there's only two. What does that look like in a plot? Okay, so this is, there's only two taxi providers in all of New York. Smells like a cartel, but that's a reality. There's only two taxi providers, there's CMT and VTS. So essentially, This slide, this set of notebooks that you get, like if you follow the process, you're going to get them. You're going to be able to modify these notebooks and make them fit your data and essentially start doing very similar things against your data. So it's a great way to get started. There's a bunch of other visualizations built into here that you can obviously start doing against your own data. And then once you have the data and you want to, let's say, pull a sample out of it, you can do that as well. And there are instructions on how to do that within this as well. So with that, we are going to switch back to Wei Yong, and he's going to talk about how do you actually operationalize the whole thing end to end. And we obviously talked about setting this stuff up. And it works well when you have to do it once, but then how do you actually make it happen in a continuous manner? How do you move your data in continuously? How do you ingest data in a streaming manner? So all that other stuff, right? So we are going to give a demo of how to do that.
Now, so at this point in time, you have experienced what is an intelligent app? And at the same time, the question is, how do you go about operationalizing it? You have an intelligent app. This intelligent app, every time you click on request a ride, every time you decide to pick up a passenger, this data gets streamed to Event Hub. You see the Power BI dashboard, or more specifically, the real-time Power BI dashboard that is showing you a pulse of the business. Now, a lot of this data gets collected over time. This data is going to be stored in a data store, whether it's Azure Data Lake Store or Azure Storage. And from a business perspective, you want to be able to do batch processing on this data. And being able to crunch through the data on a day-to-day basis, pushing this either to downstream data warehouses or downstream other data sources so that you can understand the data, so that the business can understand the data. Now, the question is, with an intelligent app, with real-time dashboard, what is this technology that allows you to stitch all this end-to-end in an end-to-end manner? But more importantly, how do you run this and being able to monitor and manage this from a single pane of glass? Now, so right now, what I'm going to show you is Azure Data Factory, and we're going to show you how Azure Data Factory allows us to do batch processing of the data. And with that, I'm going to switch to my screen. It takes a while to load, give us a minute. Now we're trying to get the screen share pushed to the screen, give us a while. Okay, it should be pushed through right now. So right now, as the screen loads up, you're seeing Azure Data Factory, and we are using an Azure Data Factory pipeline in the back end, crunching through this data that gets sent on a day-to-day basis, but more importantly, being able to push this into a database in order for you to build reports on top of it from a batch processing perspective. Now, let me quickly show you the pipeline. We started off with the data ingestion pipeline. And this is getting data called the NYC Write Raw data. Now, these are all the booking information that gets generated as and when on a day-to-day basis, on an hourly basis, people interact with the application. Now, once this is done, we partition the data based on year and month. So if I were to drill down into this, and I were to show you the Hive script that we have created, this quickly shows you how we ingested or created an external Hive table called NYC Raw. And finally, we created a partition table so that we can take the raw data and start partitioning it by some time dimension. And finally, we inserted it into the partition table. But more importantly, once this step is done, we're able to run very interesting queries like being able to select from the different columns that we're interested in based on the year and month. Now, once this is done, this pipeline runs on a day-to-day basis, right? End-to-end, from ingesting the data, partitioning the data, being able to process it using big data technologies like Pick and Hive, aggregating some of the writes, but finally being able to get it to a point that is able to predict the taxi tip, right? The tips that you saw in the application. So if I have to click on this, you'll see that we are invoking the Azure ML batch scoring activity in order to take the data, get it into the right shape in a form that we can fit it into the Azure Machine Learning model before the predictions gets generated, before we cache this in an Azure SQL database, and finally being able to consume it using an application that you saw earlier, which is the NYC Write application. So with that, I'm going to hand over back to Sachin to wrap up on what you have seen so far.
All right, so very quickly, you've essentially seen the end-to-end process here. We've seen, we didn't really show you the setup environment and the load data, but you did see the rest of the stuff. You saw data being explored in a notebook. You saw it being sampled. You saw that sample being used to build a machine learning model. Once the model was built, had an accuracy that you were comfortable with. You saw that model being deployed as a web service, and you saw that web service being used in a real live application, and you saw the outputs being visualized in a dashboard. So you essentially seen the end-to-end process for the most part here. Here's a set of summary slides, right? I'm going to open it up for questions real quickly right now. But if you have a set of links that you're interested in, the first link in aka.ms Cortana analytics process essentially talks about that process end to end. If you want to play around with that sample New York City taxi data set and do it using a SQL environment all the way, that's available as well. It's that second link where it's a SQL walkthrough. The third one is there's also a similar walkthrough for Hadoop for the same data set. It's also listed over there right in the Cortana analytics process. We do have a 1 terabyte display ads data set as well. So if you're dealing with very, very large data and you see how to play around with like a terabyte scale data set and this really cool feature called learning with counts, there's a 1 terabyte Hadoop walkthrough that helps you go through that. If you're only interested in the machine learning components and you want to look at some of the models or the underlying the Azure ML models that we use to build the predictive capability in that app that you saw, the Cortana Analytics Gallery, that link has those models. If you've got any questions or feedback, that email address that you see out there is the email alias for my team. Feel free to send us feedback. If you just want to know more about the New York City taxi data and what other open data sets there might be, there are a bunch of links around that specific data set. And actually what I've just come to realize is New York City has now, after all the interest that the data got, has actually now made way for people to go access the latest data, and they've done it through an API, I believe. So so some good did come out of that FOIL request. So that's good to see. With that, I am actually going to ask now if you were actually doing this in a live setting, we would have looked at the dashboard, figured out who did the most. Requested the most rides, or who gave out the most rides, and what tips they made, and how much money they made, and we actually even have a contest winner at that point. So, hoping that we can actually show that off. Do you have that, Leon? Let's see who made the most. All right. While Weong is bringing that up, I can actually open it up to questions. Ashish?
Sure. Thanks, Sachin and Weong. Thanks for the elaborate description of the process. Let me pick up questions. One of the few questions are around the costing, and basically the idea is what would be an estimated cost of kind of building up such a solution, kind of making it live.
This specific solution, I think the cost, the Power BI dashboard is a little bit different because that's part of the Office 365 suite, so I won't include that. But I believe the cost of running this application is probably $15 or $20 for the month.
Very good.
But Leon tells me that he actually has the winners up. if you are a nasty, mean guy, you were the top driver, apparently. People don't have your name. So they probably wouldn't have picked you if you were an Uber. But if you're in New York City, being nasty, mean guy is all right. And if you're a passenger, the user ID with 182 requests and rights taken is Taglot, a Tagloton. So congratulations for both of those. Thanks for playing that. But I'll switch back to questions. I just wanted to show that, you know, the dashboard is actually real time. And when we were when we started, I think we had like maybe 5 or 10 test data sets in there. And now we have close to 1,000. So this is all data that you guys generated who were listening in on this call in the last 30 minutes. So a great visualization of the real-time end-to-end operationalization. So feel free to take a picture of that, Nasty Mean Guy and Tagliton, and add that to your Facebook profile if you want, or whoever else. It's if you were actually here, we would have given out a physical version of the card. I'll go to the next question.
So just continuing follow up on the pricing question, that there is Azure service kind of price calculator, so you can kind of go ahead there and check the pricing of some of these services.
A couple of questions
around ingesting data from SAP dataset. So, Sachin, there are a couple of questions around how to ingest data from SAP.
So right now, in order for you to, if you're planning on taking some of this SAP data that you have, SAP, we really have to look at what kind of SAP systems you're looking, right? But in general, if you just treat it as SAP, then you need to build your applications that is able to pull from SAP. We have the APIs that shows you how you could then push this data into Event Hub. That will then allow you to consume it in a stream analytics job really easily. So the point here is really to say, take data, write an application that can pull data from your SAP application, and then push it to Event Hub, and we'll show you, and we can point you to documentation on how we build the app and how we push the data to Event Hub.
And that of course, assumes that you've got real-life or real streaming data coming in. That's when you'd use Event Hub. And if you didn't have streaming data, you'd use ADF. ADF pipelines can run every 15 minutes. So if you have that kind of data, which is not streaming in, you'd essentially be able to use ADF to extract that data. And you'd have to write some connectors, of course.
Thanks, Sachin and Vionk. A couple of questions around Spark and how does Spark come into play with Cortana Analytics Suite, and can this stuff be done even on Spark?
Yes, so Spark is an analytics platform, right? And Spark, Cortana Analytics Suite natively includes Spark as one of the analytics tools you can use. So yes, you could build something very similar using, let's say, Spark ML, and run Spark as an analysis service on top of your data that's sitting, let's say, in a data lake or in blob storage.
Yep, and then I see another question that says the tip estimates was being created from the tips from the 2013 data set. Can more recent or real-time data be injected in the data set to perform estimate on more current data? The answer to that is yes. In fact, yesterday we just published to Azure Blocks. We do provide you with the ability to do retraining, right, and also operationalize this, right, using a retraining activity available in ADF. So the ADF pipeline that you saw earlier, you can imagine that besides the prediction of the tips, right, you can add a step that says, hey, retrain the data using the more recent data that has come in, and then update the necessary model that is going to power your intelligent application that you saw earlier, which is NYRISE.
Thanks, Vionk, for picking that up. We have a couple of questions around, is there kind of fully functional version of this demo available somewhere so that people can try it out?
So right now, the application, we usually set it up just before an event like this, mainly because the application for an event that's global like this, right, we usually scale out the number of web instances to make sure we can handle the request. So that application, NYRISE, is not available. We've been looking at ways of trying to make it more available, say posting in GitHub, but that's still work in progress. Now, the model that you've seen in being able to predict the New York taxi data set tips and a bunch of other interesting scenarios, those experiments are already available in the Cortana Analytics gallery. So if you search for NY taxi, you should find a lot of experiments that our team of data scientists has already posted. The notebook that Sachin has shared earlier is also available. So if you go to one of the links that Sachin provided on the NYC Cortana Analytics process walkthrough, you actually see different variants of it, and you can immediately get productive in it. And at the same time, I think in the Q&A window, Sachin has also shared some GitHub link, right, that will allow you to access some of this as well.
Right, and I also, the links that I showed earlier, the second link on that was the SQL walkthrough. And if you go to the Cortana Analytics process page, there's also a bunch of in-action links there or in-action boxes, which essentially show the entire process of how to build some of this. It doesn't include the Power BI dashboard yet, but it will at a later stage. But this essentially shows all the way from taking that data in and building the models against it. So depending on which part you want to play with, you can obviously jump in at different parts of the walkthrough.
Sure. And we can provide the link of the GitHub as part of the follow-up mail also. A few questions around retraining and what is the suggested interval of retraining?
So retraining and how often you retrain is really a business decision, right? It is always a balance between how often you want the tips, right, to be predicted, and versus what is your business needs. So for example, right, if you want your tip prediction to stay stable within 1 or 2 weeks window because you think that you do not have sufficient data in order to even have a meaningful retrain model, then you'll wait 1-2 weeks before you do retraining. Right. And more than often, a lot of the cases that we've seen is that as and when you do this tip prediction, one of the things that we've not built into the application is the driver can then provide feedback. Feedback to say, hey, was this tip that was predicted accurate or not accurate? Now, all this feedback are super useful to determine when you should trigger the next retraining, right, before you refresh or update the model to power the app, right? So it's really a balance of all this factor, and therefore we can't give a straight answer on saying, hey, you should really retrain it for this X amount of time, right? And more than often, it's super important to monitor the quality of the model that you have given, right, in order to say, hey, is it realistic? Is it not realistic? And then you retrain.
I think that last point that Wiyoung made was really key is you really have to set up a monitoring system that's measuring the accuracy of your model in real time and use that as a way to retrigger a retraining. It's not, there's no golden rule that says retrain every 1 week or every 1 month or every 5 minutes. So it really is dependent on the system, and you really want a way to capture the feedback from whatever real-time data is coming in and measure the accuracy of the model against that and then set up your retraining based off of whatever thresholds you set up for accuracy.
Thanks, Sachin. Thanks, Wiyoung. A few questions around Data Factory. Is the Data Factory place where you stitch all these services together? B, can Data Factory ingest data from Office 360 SharePoint?
So let me take both questions one by one. Now, the first question was, is Data Factory the right solution to stitch all this together? Now, Data Factory is a managed cloud service that allows you to compose data movement and processing. And therefore, if a lot of these pieces that you're trying to stitch together has a data movement and processing angle to it, like you're trying to move data before it gets processed, say, by HD Insight, before it gets fit into Azure Machine Learning model from a batch training perspective, then Azure Data Factory is the right solution that allows you to do that. Now, on top of that, Data Factory offers you a single pane of glass for monitoring and managing this end-to-end solution so that one day, and not every day is a good day, right? So one day something will go wrong and you need to be able to troubleshoot what went wrong in this end-to-end data-driven workflow. Data Factory enables you to do that really quickly. Now, that was the first part to it. Ashish, can you repeat the second question?
The second was about can Data Factory ingest data from Office 360 SharePoint?
Yes. So right now, Data Factory will not allow you to ingest it. We don't have the right connectors to it yet. But Data Factory do have extensibility point. So today, we have seen customers that use the Data Factory extensibility point which we call .NET activity, where you write .NET code to invoke the relevant APIs to pull data from data sources that Data Factory does not support today.
Well, thanks, Fionn. This question, is there any certification program around Cortana Analytics, or what is the best way to kind of learn about it?
Yes, I don't believe we have a formal certification program around Cortana Analytics quite yet. That is something that is being discussed. To learn more about it, especially using the Cortana Analytics process, the link that I sent out earlier is a great resource, as well as if you've got a set of partners or ISVs that you work with who are already well versed with Cortana Analytics, that would be another way to get some training on that front. But we are building out a training and certification program, and we'll keep you posted on when that's available.
Thanks, Sachin Vihang. So that's all the time that we have today. Thank you all for attending the session, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good day.